The Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, will publish a bill today to make it an offence to coerce children into crime. The proposed law would mean that anyone who directs a child to commit a crime would be punished as though they committed the crime themselves. The child need not carry out the offence as long as there's proof that they were instructed to do something illegal. Guilty parties could face up to 5 years in prison. Carl De Quay is a project leader at the Targeted Response to Youth Project in Dublin. It works with teenagers and adults dealing with drug and crime-related issues. He spoke to our reporter Amy Nirieva about his experience seeing children becoming involved with crime.
When I first started, Amy, we were only employed to engage with 18 plus, and we seen fairly quickly that an intervention needed to be made in the generation under, because they were the ones standing around the corners looking at the older generation out making easy money, and there was no positive role models in the area, and they seen these guys making easy money, and all of a sudden they were getting integrated into the gangs by simply standing around the corners and keeping lookout for the police and stuff like that. We developed this like hierarchy theory that we identified the people at the top who would obviously be the suppliers, and then the people underneath who would distribute. And then we seen the people at the very bottom, the younger people, that they were the runners, as we like to call, that they'd be the ones out delivering the drugs, taking the most risk, collecting them. You'd see young people from anywhere from 14 to 15 out there doing that. We have witnessed, I suppose, young people as young as 14 doing Class A drugs. My own theory around it is that when you're at the bottom of that scale and you're taking the most risk by supplying these drugs and collecting them and delivering them, that there's a lot of fear in that. There's a lot of fear of being caught, a lot of fear of losing the supply. And the more fear a young person feels, he's going to take more drugs to relieve that fear. You see fairly quickly that it moves from the experimental stage to the problematic stage, and all of a sudden, the older they get, it's into the dependency stage of addiction.
This legislation would see the people who are making the orders being held responsible, as opposed to the children who are carrying out the deeds for them. Can you see children coming forward and actually acting as a witness for Gardaí?
With the areas I walk in, where it's very disadvantaged, and there's a lot of like stigma towards police, and you don't talk to police and stuff like that, that they're always the bad person that... I can see that being very challenging towards young people actually coming forward. Plus the levels of fear and intimidation that these people can cause in the community will increase if that kind of situation did happen.
And that was Carl De Quay there with Amy Nirieva. For more, I'm joined by Dr. Johnny Connolly from the University of Limerick Centre for Crime, Justice and Victim Studies. Johnny, good morning.
Good morning.
You're also the author of Building Community Resilience. Carl, talking there about young children being induced into crime, will you talk to us a little bit more about the process of grooming children? Does it happen within the family or outside the family or both?
Well, the evidence that we have produced through that study, Building Resilience, and through work that has been conducted by my colleagues in the Greentown project, suggests the strong element of family and kinship involvement, where you have fathers basically involving their children in criminal networks, and that compounds the issues that Carl was talking about there in terms of you know people going forward as witnesses, and also then younger people recruiting other young people, young people who are connected into these family, but they're associates of the family, connecting other young people into the networks and grooming them in. So that's going to be very challenging. But I'd also say I think it's important legislation, because you know it's highlighting an often hidden harm that's very damaging, particularly to vulnerable young people in the communities where particularly the drug trade has most pernicious effects, and it sanctions a behaviour that can become normalised, and it tells people, particularly young people, this is not normal, it's wrong and it's criminal. And the criminal law should have that, you know, it should have that symbolic role, but it also should be enforceable, and that is going to be very challenging.
And that was highlighted as well by Carl there, the challenge of encouraging children who have been induced into crime in this way to come forward and give evidence.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a lot of the assumptions around the criminal justice system, you know, that we might, you know, that we don't live in those situations, we might take for granted, just don't hold. And so while law enforcement, well, and we have to look at this as it goes through the Oireachtas, I think it'll we'll really hopefully tease out those different issues. But also we should see, and this is where the Greentown project is at the moment, and as it's been rolled out with the interventions in two locations in Dublin and elsewhere, is that the law is just one aspect of a sort of a whole holistic or whole system approach to this. So while you need to try and disrupt these criminal networks, you also need to try and support communities, develop community efficacy. You need to also, you know, what these criminal networks provide young people is a sort of an anti-social opportunity structure. And so we know we need to look at pro-social opportunity structures for these young people to help them steer away from these networks and to also build up their own capacity and their agency to help them sort of resist and be
How
more resilient.
How are we doing with that, Johnny? Because there was a big commitment to the North Dublin inner city during that wave of crime some years ago.
Well, the North East Inner City programme is actually going on, going quite strong, and we've had some engagement with that. And there is one thing that is developing there at the moment, and obviously COVID has impacted on everything, is a new sort of community policing structure is being developed within the North East Inner City, and that's a model that has emerged from the recommendations of the Commission on the Future of Policing. So I think this is quite it's quite positive if it is seen as part of this sort of more holistic approach. I think, you know, it'll be important. It's going to be incredibly challenging to enforce this. And this is not just the situation in Ireland. This is elsewhere as well. Every country is dealing with this. But I think it is really important that through at least this law, we're putting a spotlight on this issue. And so that's a positive thing.
How widespread is it within communities that have been targeted by crime and by gangs?
Well, the original Greentown study that was conducted by my colleague Sean Redmond was followed on by a national prevalence study where they interviewed around 100 Garda juvenile liaison officers throughout the country and came up with an estimate of around 1,000 children throughout the state who are vulnerable to this type of grooming and exposure to this type of criminal networks. And that was based on the workload, on a sort of a proportion of the workload of juvenile liaison officers. And that's an important piece of work as well, in the sense that you won't get that sort of information from normal statistics, and so that's sort of another element of it. But that was the sort of estimate they came over, that we're talking about around 1,000 children and young people.
I suspect very difficult to prosecute as well, because if a child were to come forward, they've got a target on their head from there on.
Yeah, that's the case. I mean, and there's another side of it, is that children often look up to people involved in these networks. They see status, they see cash, they get sort of psychosocial supports in the sense of feeling wanted, feeling that they're useful. Now, of course, that's a bubble that bursts very quickly as they become implicated, or they become obliged through drug debt. So it's going to be something that'll be very, very difficult to enforce. And I think what that means is that we need to think of other ways of approaching this, and the cliche, thinking outside of the box. Okay. But these children do need support, and they knew the sort of work that Carla is doing is absolutely invaluable, incredibly difficult and
All
challenging,
right.
But
Johnny,
that is where we need to go.
Thank you very much, Dr. Johnny Connolly there from the University of Limerick.